This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Tampa Bay. You know, as we get deeper into October, I think this is maybe my favorite time of year around here. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on this Friday, October the 9th. Wow. We will be talking in a few minutes with Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about the importance of in-person voting this November. In fact, the foundation has put out a public service announcement that encourages it. So we'll talk with Zach about all of that. And now President Trump says he will not do a virtual debate with Joe Biden. Is he getting cold feet? Or is there a legitimate reason for this? We're going to talk about all of that, get some perspective with the proprietor of the only poll that really matters to mainstream America, the Barber Poll, and that's Andrew Ceraci. So he'll be on a few minutes or down the road in the show also. And speaking of debates, did you watch the vice presidential debate this week? Did you see and hear Kamala Harris give Mike Pence a history lesson about Abe Lincoln? Do you remember that? Well, maybe she did not get the facts quite truly. So we're going to explain exactly what Abe Lincoln did. Stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one, I think. The top 10 best U.S. large cities to go to visit. We're going to see if Big Ed knows what's number one. By the way, we are sponsored in part here at Freedom Works by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is the best place for men to get a haircut. It's also, I think it's one of the cheapest, if not, and we use the word cheap. That doesn't sound right. It's one of the most least expensive places to get a great haircut. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. That is on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 Main Street. But you got to call for a reservation, 727-733-3773. And by the way, do not forget to start your morning with Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network. You'll always feel good when you listen to them. Paul and Tracy Allen, what a great pair they are. Lovely couple. They start off your day with the latest in news and entertainment. Good Morning Clearwater. All right. So now, Nancy Pelosi, who has taken leave of her senses, by the way, I don't know where she left them, but she has definitely taken leave of them. She made a dramatic announcement during her weekly press conference yesterday, telling reporters that she intends to discuss a constitutional measure that will remove President Trump from office. He's obviously, in her opinion, lost it. He's not capable of continuing his duties. And it has something to do, she thinks, with his health as he's trying to get over the coronavirus. Now, I've seen Trump several times on television, and I've listened to him. He sounds great. Now, maybe there's something there. Maybe it's, I've never done cocaine. But do you think there's some sort of a drug that's given him an upper? He does look energetic and raring to go and sounds it. But according to Pelosi, we got to look at the 25th Amendment. The 25th Amendment allows for the vice president to become acting president if it's determined that the president, quote, is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. I don't see any sign of that. She does not really see any sign of that, as crazy as she might be. It's a ploy. No, you haven't. Nobody, she hasn't even figured herself up. Okay, let's hear it. Yeah. Oh, I never thought of that. Oh, yeah. She felt rejected. What a wonderful and thoughtful... Let's see. If I had a choice between Melania Trump and Nancy Pelosi... I'm not sure. I'd have to give that one some thought, okay? Very good. But thank you for your comment on that, Ed. That's very nice. The president was not so pleased. I don't think he saw that as love at first sight or middle sight or whatever. He said, crazy Nancy is the one who should be under observation. They don't call her crazy for nothing. Actually, is there anybody else that gets in front of a camera and consistently calls her crazy, or is there, who started it? I think Donald Trump started calling her crazy. Was he not the one? And was he not the one that called Joe Biden sleepy? And what was the one for Hillary Clinton? Not phony Hillary. I can't think, what's Hillary's, Ed? Hillary is...
Well, it's Crazy Nancy.
Yeah, Sleepy Joe.
Sleepy Joe, and...
Crying Chuck Schumer. Remember, crying, he cried one time.
Was it Nasty Hillary?
Something I was just
like
thinking
that?
It was nasty. It's not nasty.
Let's go with that.
Hey, we're losing
nasty.
Our minds because we should know. Yeah, Nasty's as good as that.
Yeah, we'll go Nasty.
It wasn't Criminal Hillary, was it? No.
It could be. How about Nasty Criminal... Nasty Criminal Hillary.
You can't put that on a poster. You got to, you know, or on your bumper sticker. We want a small one.
I think you could.
All right. Anyway, we can't seem to get through this story because we keep talking about all these nonsensical things. Anyway, Pelosi questions Trump's health. She also is obsessed with finding out how long he's had COVID-19. She says the public needs to know. Look, if the guy is healthy, why go back in history now and try and, you know, what are you trying to do under a microscope? Maybe he never got the virus. You know? All she's trying to do is to put doubt in people's minds about what Trump is really all about. And she wants to know the last date and time when he tested negative. What? Who cares? I mean, what are you going to do about it? If he's over it, or if he's getting over it, and he sure looks good to me. Anyway, she says, we're going to talk about this, and you'll find out Monday. So she's going to hold us in suspense. I cannot wait to find out. Actually, I can wait. I don't care what she thinks. Anyway, we're going to switch topics, and we're going to get into something I do care about, and that is whether or not people should do mail-in voting or in-person voting. We're going to talk specifically about all that with Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation. And down in New Orleans, all the cats gonna
dance with sweet little 16. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop, in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. Thank you so very much for joining us here on Freedom Works. We are delighted to have back Zach Smith. He is a legal fellow at the Great Heritage Foundation, and the Heritage Foundation has released a public service announcement, I think it was last week, encouraging all Americans who are able to go to the polls to go ahead and get to the polls, vote in person. Do not vote by mail. Zach, welcome back. Why is the Heritage Foundation talking about going to the polls? Are they implying that we're going to have some real trouble with mail-in voting?
Well, thanks so much for having me on.
Sure.
And, you know, I think one of the things we've seen with this push for mail-in voting, universal mail-in voting, is that it doesn't work well so far. And unfortunately, it's not going to get fixed between now and the November election. You know, you don't have to do too hard of a Google search to see instances where people who have been dead for many, many years are being sent ballots, where ballots are being misdelivered. You know, if we look back at the primary that New York held earlier this year, the rejection rate for mail-in ballots was nearly 1 in 5. Which is a much, much higher rate than ballots where folks would go to the polls and vote in person. And so I think what we see, the opportunities for fraud are much greater with mail-in voting, but also it's much easier for regular voters, you and I, just to inadvertently make mistakes on our ballots, which could lead to our votes not counting. And so I think it's much safer, much more likely that our votes will count if we go to the polls and we vote in person.
You know, I live in Florida, and I am not kidding. I have gone back and forth about whether to continue my mail-in voting. I've been doing it here for quite a while. We've had it here, so we seem to, for whatever, we've gotten the kinks out of it. But then now I'm starting to wonder, did my vote really get there to the precinct?
Go
ahead.
I do think, Paul, it's important to distinguish kind of the traditional absentee voting versus universal mail-in voting. You know, I think what you're talking about probably is the traditional absentee-type voting where you have to, you know, either go to your supervisor's office and request a mail-in ballot or send a form in specifically requesting a ballot. And so, you know, it's still better probably if you can go to the polls and vote in person, but at least for that absentee-type voting, you had to specifically ask for a ballot to be sent to you at your current address. What we're seeing in places like California, where they're just sending out ballots to everyone on their voter rolls, well, we're finding out their voter rolls aren't very good, aren't very up to date. And so, again, if you do a Google search or you look on Twitter or any other social media, you'll see stories where people are getting ballots for residents who lived there three, four, five residents ago? Are they getting ballots for their deceased relatives who have been dead for many, many years? And so, again, the opportunity for fraud just greatly increases when you move to this universal mail-in voting type system.
Yes, indeed. And Donald Trump and the Trump administration is filing lawsuits in all these different places. I imagine he's got one going somewhere in California for this, too. So is Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, actually sending out ballots unsolicited to everybody they've got on their voting rolls in the Golden State? Is that right?
Well, many states are doing this. And so, you know, California, their voting rolls are not unique in being particularly problematic. Again, you know, New York had grave issues in their primary election earlier this year, and that was a primary, which, you know, theoretically will have far fewer voters than the upcoming general election. Look in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is sending out ballots to folks. And, you know, you're seeing the same types of problems where people who haven't lived there are getting ballots, dead people are getting ballots. And then you also see stories about the ballots being returned. You know, if they're, whether, you know, unfortunately, postal employees are not returning the ballots as they should be. And then again, you know, you also have to factor in the idea that, you know, unfortunately, many elections offices just aren't set up to handle this volume of mail-in ballots. And so it's likely that unless proactive steps are taken, you know, they're going to have a really difficult time processing this greatly increased volume of mail-in ballots.
We're talking with Zach Smith. He is a senior, he's a legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, and the foundation has released a new public service announcement. It encourages all Americans who are able to vote, to go in person. So, so Zach, are you saying here in Florida, should I therefore, even though I requested getting the ballot and it was sent to me and I've been doing it like this now for a while, do you suggest that I should still go to the polls just to make sure? And would you suggest that of the rest of the people that got absentee ballots in Florida? Or are we, do you think, is it fairly safe for us?
Well, I think if you can go to the polls, you know, if you go to your polling location and you cast your vote, you know that your vote has been cast, you know that it's been received, and you know that it will be tabulated at the polling place on that day. And unfortunately, even if the absentee ballot process or the vote-by-mail process is more secure than this universal mail-in voting, you still can't have that same level of assurance. And so if you can go to the polling place, you know, I certainly encourage you or any of your listeners, you know, go to the polling place, and for a couple of reasons. You know that your vote's going to be received and counted, and also if there are, you have any questions, if any issues come up, you can proactively address that with the poll workers there at the polling location, which, again, will ensure that your vote is received and counted. If there's a problem with the absentee ballot you send in, well, you're not going to know about it, and it's more likely that your vote will be rejected if there is a problem.
So Donald Trump is pretty much echoing what you're saying, and you don't think he's fear-mongering. Is that right?
I don't, you know, especially on the voter fraud prong of it. You know, the Heritage Foundation has a voter fraud database. We have over 1,200 instances of verified, it's just a sampling, but verified instances of voter fraud. And this is where people have been arrested, prosecuted. And again, you know, you do see it's much easier to manipulate the ballots in the mail-in voting context. You know, just yesterday, a story broke out of Texas where a mayoral candidate in Texas was trying to manipulate votes, a mail-in voting process. And so this is not something that doesn't happen. This is not something that's made up. And if you want proof of it, you know, I encourage you and your listeners, go to the Heritage Foundation, look at our voter fraud database, and you'll see over 1,200 instances where people have been arrested or prosecuted for voter fraud offenses.
I come from the Chicago area, and way before any mail-in voting was ever even thought about, we found a way, I guess, in Chicago to rig the votes, even though everybody was going to the polls there. Mayor Daley helped elect, let's be honest, he helped elect John F. Kennedy because Chicago came through for Kennedy over Nixon. And there's always going to be fraud. We know that, no matter how, the best of intentions. But the other thing I'm going to say about all the mail-in voting that's now going on, other than when you first do something, you know, you're never as good at it the first or second time around as you are down the road, right? You get better at doing it. But also the delay in getting the results. I mean, we're already sitting on a powder keg, are we not? And if we have to wait, you know, like a couple of weeks to find out who won the election?
Right. No, I agree. That is a potentially a dangerous situation. And, you know, what I would hate to see is on election night, you still have a lot of mail-in votes outstanding, and you wouldn't want the election to be called for, you know, one candidate only to find out, you know, days or weeks later, you know, someone comes up and said, oh, no, we've tabulated the mail-in votes now, and it's actually the other candidate who won. And so it's, again, it's, there's a lot of problems with mail-in voting. And so if you and your listeners are able to go to the polls, you know, do so safely. I know the supervisors of election, especially in Florida, where you are, Paul, are taking precautions with social distancing, you know, mask wearing, hand sanitizing, cleaning the voting machines. You know, I certainly encourage you, go in person, cast your vote, be sure it counts, and help, you know, move our electoral process forward safely and quickly.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting. On the one hand, we have people that are very concerned, like I am, and you are, about the veracity of mail-in voting. On the other hand, you've got people that don't want to go to the polls because they're worried about the virus. So I don't know if that means we're going to have more people that want to go to the polls or less, you know.
Right.
But you are right about, I mean, if you have to go to the grocery store, and we've gotten through that, you know.
Right.
We know how to do things with people and social distance and wear a mask. I can't see that being an impediment to people to go to the polls.
Right. And if you look at the very beginning of the outbreak of the pandemic, Wisconsin held an election. And again, they had in-person voting, in-person polling places available. And again, the election officials there took the precautions we're talking about. You know, we're not talking about cramming people in, ignoring, you know, social distancing, the health advice. They took appropriate precautions, and there was no appreciable outbreak of the virus tied to that election. And so I think if we all use common sense, if we follow, you know, the same safety precautions that we do in, you know, every other aspect of our lives today, that people can go to the polls, do so safely, quickly, and again, be sure their votes count.
Yeah. So let me put you a bit on the spot, Zach. Well, I mean, come on. In the long run, we're not going to worry about it, but do you think we are going to get fair results this year from the election? Do you think that the results will be basically fair? I mean, overall, do you think we're going to get, you know, if candidate A wins, according to what we've found out, are you going to have any doubt in your mind? Or do you know what I mean? Do you have any worries about this?
Well, I think that certainly everybody's goal is to get, you know, free, fair elections. And again, I think the best way that you or I or any of us can help to achieve that goal is to go to the polls in person and vote. To be sure that our votes are cast, to be sure that our votes count. And so in terms of action steps for us as ordinary citizens, I think that is the most helpful, the most useful, the most appropriate thing that we can do to help ensure that we get timely results, that we get fair results, and again, to be sure that everyone who wants to vote, that their vote is cast and counts.
Yes, indeed. And I hope when I wake up on Wednesday, November the 4th, that I know who the heck is president. I don't want to wait no stinking two or three more weeks after that. Zach,
right.
Go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think nobody wants a repeat of Bush v. Gore
in 2000. Goodness. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Zach Smith, thank you so very much for coming on. Really appreciate it. Look forward to doing this with you again.
Thanks so much for having me. Take care.
All right. Zach Smith, Heritage Foundation. Going to take our break. And when we come back, President Trump says, no, I won't do a virtual debate with Biden. He will cheat. Let's talk with Andrew, the master barber, about all of that.
Please don't leave me all by myself. I've got this burning, burning, yearning.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday. We are Freedom Works with Paul Malloy and Big Ed. Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And so President Trump has basically told the Election Commission to go away. The presidential debate scheduled for next week, I believe, was thrown into uncertainty after the commission on the presidential debates announced that the next showdown would take place in a virtual setting as Trump is recovering from the virus. It released a morning statement, didn't check with either campaign, by the way, that said, yes, we'll do it virtually this way. We're going to be safe. Everybody will be safe. Shortly after that, Trump said no. He called it ridiculous. So, Master Barber Andrew Ceraci, if you were advising Donald Trump, would you advise him to do this debate virtually?
Well, I would tell him to do it if I was a perfect idiot. Unfortunately, I'm not.
Okay.
He'd have to be a fool to do it.
Okay.
You know how they're going to set him up? They're going to have him in his room. They're going to have the big teleprompter, somebody typing the answers. No, he needs to be there in person. What's the matter with this man? Or should I even call him a man? He's a little wimp.
Wow.
Get up, put on your big boy pants, pull up your suspenders, and get on that stage and debate.
You know, I was watching Fox News, The Five. That program is on, I think, here Eastern Time, 5 o'clock. And one of the people on the panel said, this election commission, go down the list of the people that are on it. They're all Democrats, except for a couple of Republicans that don't like Trump. And they said, this is a setup. And if you, so Trump is basically almost telling them, look, we don't need you. We can set up a debate between ourselves. And that is true. You don't legally need the commission.
Well, first of all, the debate commission. What, they got a commission for everything. You know, first of all, you know how the debate should be held? They should have the two candidates up on stage, and they should have a guy in a white and black shirt like a football referee, not a moderator, okay? Because there's nothing but journalists and networks writing the questions. They should have a person there that's a referee to control the two politicians.
Yeah, but what's he gonna do? Put him in a headlock? I mean, how do you control?
No, look, they got a whistle just like anything else, and they have, instead of people. They need the regular citizens there. Get 20 people. Get 20 citizens. Let's review the citizens' questions. Let's get the best ones. Let the citizens ask them the questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay? I mean,
that's how it should be done. Not a journalist asking questions. They're taking a month to write these questions. No. Let's do what the people want to hear. Get the people in there to ask questions.
Now, town hall format. And by the way, Biden says, if we don't do the debate, then I'm going to do a town hall, and I'm going to take more questions. Well, we know how the town hall goes.
That's good. You know what?
ABC did the town hall. Every single person asking a question was apparently was pro-Biden. That's not a town hall. That's an infomercial. Go ahead.
Well, Paul, that's what they're going to do anyway. You know what? Let him have his town hall meeting. All 8 of his followers will be there, and Trump's going to hold a rally that night with probably 35, 40,000 people. Let him do it. I think that's better.
All of this kind of squelched the performance of Mike Pence with Kamala Harris. I think Mike Pence clearly won the debate, and I usually am overly critical, I think,
Pence did a grand slam, Paul. He was classy. So, he was very articulate with what he talked about, how he handled her. Look at her, what she looked like. She looked like a little high school kid there with her little grins and her little statements whispering under her mouth. She's a fool. She's not going nowhere. The Democrats don't even like her.
Do you think Donald Trump got a little jealous of how well Mike Pence performed and decided to make some news himself by saying he wasn't going to participate in a virtual debate?
No. Trump's just being smart. Let me ask you a question. Would you do it?
Well, you know, at first I thought, I'll be honest, I would do it. Then the more I listen to people say, well, Biden's going to be this, and they're going to do this, and they're going to have, notes to him and everything. Then I kind of started sliding the other way. But then I thought, you know what? If you've got a camera focused on you, and usually a close-up shot, you know, of you talking to your computer thing, you can see if Biden's eyes are looking like somebody's reading, you know, he's reading it. So
he always looks like somebody's reading something or he's listening to something.
Well, I mean,
he can't say it on his own.
I know, but wouldn't you be able to tell if he was being fed the answers as you were watching? Okay.
Of course.
I think most people are smart enough to also be able to tell. Therefore, I kind of went back and thought, I think Trump should do it anyway. But I don't know now. I don't know. And I'm thinking maybe because Steve Scully, who was going to be the moderator, and I don't know if he would have done it on a virtual, but I suspect so. Scully not only interned for Joe Biden, he worked for Ted Kennedy. He was on the Ted Kennedy. So I don't think he's the right kind of guy to moderate anyway.
Why is it the moderators are always Democrats or their apprentices under somebody? The politicians.
Go back to the commission.
They are so freaking crooked, Paul. They're trying everything. Let me tell you, they know they're getting ready to get flushed down the toilet. Just like crazy Nancy Pelosi. Yes. Oh, the 25th Amendment. Where are all the psychiatrists that were saying there's something wrong with Trump before, remember?
Yeah.
Why the hell aren't they out there now, okay, looking at Nancy Pelosi? They should be taking her off her podium in a straitjacket.
Yes, that's what Trump said.
And taking her to the freaking nursing home. What the hell is the matter with these people? Are these people in this country stupid to listen to this?
Would you take her to a New York nursing
home? Definitely. Okay. I'd have Mario Cuomo, or what's his name? Andrew Cuomo. Let him assign the place. He's good at that.
He will escort her into the nursing home.
I'll push her in her wheelchair.
That's the kiss of death. Okay.
Hey, yeah. I'm Italian. It's okay. I know what that is.
I guess you're right. Hey, indeed, Trump said Crazy Nancy is the one who should be
under
the observation. They don't call her crazy for nothing. So I don't know why she would say that. You know that they cannot possibly get away with it. Secondly, did you know Pence would have to sign off on that? Thirdly, Pence would become the president. So there's no way that they really want that to happen anyway. I think Pence is more conservative as far as Democrats are concerned than Trump is. So she's just making noise.
Well, you just answered why she's called Crazy Nancy.
Yeah. No, you're right.
They got Crazy Nancy, Bumbling Biden. Come on. These people, I laugh at the people sitting there holding up flags for these people on street corner. Are you people nuts? Where did you go to school? If you did.
We're talking with Andrew the Master Barber. Now, talk about biting the hand that feeds you. Did you hear Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer accused Trump of being a rallying cry for white supremacists, for hate groups?
Well, yeah, I heard that. And you know what? The FBI messed up again. They should have let him take her. They would have been doing the state of Michigan a favor. Believe me, the people would have cheered him on. But they made a mistake, and they protected her again, just like they protected all the Democrats during the Russia game.
Well, talk about an ingrate. Talk about an ingrate. When the FBI helped, you know, discover this plot, she should be thanking the Department of Justice.
Well, she's another nutcase, Paul. And the people vote her in. It's Michigan.
In her first public comment, she thanked the local FBI. Well, she thanked the FBI, and she thanked the Attorney General of the state, bringing these sick and depraved men to justice. And then she argues Trump has provided tacit support to radical groups by refusing to condemn white supremacy. He has condemned it. He specifically has condemned all of these different groups. But I guess you got to continue to say it almost every other hour, or they don't believe you. At least the Democrats don't.
So she's the one backing the terrorists. Look what they did over there. And look at how she's trying to shut everything down. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's the one that's the terrorist. She's the one that's allowing everything to happen. And she's the one trying to lock all her people in prison.
Yeah.
The people should have been over there trying to kidnap her and dump her. Believe me.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a good turnout, in your opinion, in Pinellas County, Andrew. In fact, we can tell everybody that we are planning on doing another remote broadcast from Republican headquarters in North Pinellas County on Election Day. And you're going to be there. And so we should have some fun during that day. But do you expect we're going to have a huge... In fact, do you think there's going to be one of the biggest turnouts to vote because of all of this going on that... Or do you think because of the virus, it can actually impede the number of people that will vote?
No, the virus. China, I told you, China's building islands in the South China Sea to put military bases on. But you know what, Paul? Just wear your mask and protect yourself from the virus. We'll be okay.
Yeah.
We got to recover an economy from the so-called virus. But wear your mask and we'll be okay.
Yeah.
Come on. Everything is wear your mask. You have an abortion, wear your mask. You're going to be okay. Everything is wear your freaking mask and the virus, okay? Enough of this crap. The virus, you know what? When I was a kid, you got the freaking sniffles, you wiped your nose on your sleeve, and you walked away. Today, these people are such little gimps in this country. I've never seen nothing like it.
Yeah. So I see Biden, he's standing all by himself, and they had a long shot of him. There was nobody within reach. Nobody. You couldn't see anybody. Not behind him, out to the side of him. And he's got his mask on. I'll bet after he finished talking and the camera shut up, I bet he took his mask off. What do you want to bet? I bet he did.
Paul, first of all, there's nobody ever around Biden.
That's true.
Okay, look at his rallies and his town halls. This guy's a basement dweller. I think these young millennials today are modeling themselves after him.
He does not need to worry about social distancing. I think that's what you're saying, right?
That's right. Nobody gets around.
Not even his wife? How about all the kids in the swimming pool?
Rubbing his legs.
This is the man they want
to be president, along with the happy hooker. Give me a break.
The happy hooker. Well, you're going to go to the poll. You're not going to mail in.
Of course I'm going to be there.
I'm
thinking of filling out my ballot and putting it in the vault of the Department of Motor Vehicles.
Okay, that's right.
Because they have somebody there with a vault and the two people guarding it all day.
Yeah. Yeah, and they'll shoot anybody that comes within striking distance, right?
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. Hey, what do you think about, I am hearing more and more emphasis on, well, white supremacists are doing this and doing that. And I was listening to a guy on C-SPAN. Now, don't ask me, why do you listen to C-SPAN? But they had a guy that wrote a book. He's an obvious liberal. And he's talking about all of the trouble that's being raised by white supremacists. Well, maybe I said this to you the other day. If you took every Nazi and white supremacist and KKK person and put them all together, you could fill them. You still would not fill a large Walmart. There aren't that many of them out there, in my opinion.
Well, Paul, they got nothing else to talk about, okay? Demonize the Republicans. Demonize these people, okay? They got nothing better to do. They got to talk bad about them because they got no format, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
They got nothing to stand on. If Biden gets elected, this country could be in a state of depression worse than it was in 1929.
Wow.
Number one, okay? Yeah. The guy don't know how to handle nothing. They had four. He had 47 years. Pelosi's been there, what, 38 years? You got Chucky the Rat Schumer. How long have these people been there? Tell me what they have accomplished. Nothing.
Yeah.
The only thing they've accomplished is dividing this country to get us to be a socialist country because this is what the globalists want. They're being paid, and the people better realize it. And I believe they're going to be coming down big time, Paul.
So we do believe we're going to have a big turnout. Any particular election in Pinellas County, Andrew, that you're focusing on at all?
Well, Paul, I'm focusing on these county commissioners over here because the county commissioners, people don't realize it is loaded with Democrats, and all we hear is raise your taxes. They don't need money. They want to put it in surplus so they can go Christmas shopping. December's coming.
Oh, yes, that's true.
You know, enough is enough, Paul. We need to get Mr. Arns in there and Tammy Vasquez to get rid of these people. This is where we're going to even up the crowd. So I'm watching that very closely. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping you get Tammy Vasquez on your show and Mr. Arns on your show.
Well,
because these people got a lot to talk about.
When we do that remote, maybe we can have Tammy on, you know, because they're not supposed to be campaigning the day of the election. But let's look. I would look forward to that. And, Andrew, I always look forward to talking with you. It's always a pleasure. You always get my energy up. And we're going to talk again, God willing, this Monday. Thank you very much.
God be with you and Trump be with you, Paul. Believe me, because we need both of them in this country today.
Thank you for your blessing.
You got it,
all right, my friend. We'll talk to you
Monday. Take care.
All right. The Master Barber himself, Andrew. All right. Let us take another break, our final break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the Kamala Harris history lesson about Abraham Lincoln.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is
all... Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on Freedom Works. By the way, if you cannot hear us live, you can hear us on podcast. Big Ed puts all of our shows on the podcast and very easily accessible to you. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Look up at the top. Hit the podcast button. Ed has it all chronologically set up, latest program on top, and you'll even know the topic and the guest that we will have, OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, so I'm watching the debate between Pence and Kamala Harris, vice president debate, and during the exchange, And they were talking about Judge Amy Coney Barrett at the time and whether or not Republicans should wait or not wait for the election before confirmation. She brought up Abe Lincoln, and she said, I want to do a little history lesson. And she mentions that a seat became open while Lincoln was up for re-election 27 days before the vote. And she said that Lincoln's party, the Republicans, were in charge not only of the White House but the Senate. But she said, Honest Abe said, it's not the right thing to do. The American people deserve to make the decision about who will be the next president with the president that will carry on for four more years. Well, according to the Washington Post, that's not exactly why he did it. They say Harris is correct. The seat became available just before the election, and Lincoln did not nominate anybody until after he won the upcoming election, but there is no evidence he thought that the seat should be filled because you should wait for the winner of the election. He had other motives. According to a historian, Michael Burlingame, he told his aides he wanted to delay the confirmation because he was waiting to receive expressions of public opinion, not, by the way, in surveys and the like, but in the mail from people, because back then they would send a lot of mail. He would read it, and he wanted to wait to see what their thoughts were about it. So that, and also because the Congress was in recess, so it would not have made any difference. They could not, at that point, have voted because they would not be back in time. So she changed history. All right. Now, before we do our top 10, we are in mourning here, Ed, because both of our teams that were playing last night did not fare so well. We had the Rays playing the Yankees, and we had the Bucks playing the Chicago Bears. What happened? Let's start with the Bears and Bucks. What do you think?
The Bears and the Bucks. Bucks are just banged up. A lot of players didn't play. You know, Mike Evans is our wide receiver is very limited. And I just think it came down to penalties.
Penalties and health?
Yeah. Yeah. The offensive lineman, Jensen, the center, actually, you know, a headbutt costing him 15 yards and killing the drive.
That drives you crazy.
You can't do that. And Brady was very upset on the sideline at him. And you just can't do that. And, actually, they should have ran away with that game. You know, a running back, Jones Rojo, was running over Bears, you know, and the passing game was clear, but there'd be penalties and killing drives and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they're banged up, you know, and then we lost Vita Vea last night, so we don't know how bad that's going to be, the nose tackle.
I think if they had been totally healthy, they would have beaten the Bears.
Yeah.
As it turned out, it was a break for the Bears, and let's give them credit. They're 4-1. That's pretty good for a team that they didn't, and they've got a new quarterback.
Yep.
Who, by the way, was the MVP of that Philadelphia Super Bowl game.
Nick
Did
Foles.
You know that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yep. So maybe it'll help them a little bit. Okay, and now on to the beloved Rays. They played the Yankees.
And I said on your program Tuesday, I thought the Rays would win only one game.
Yeah.
And they've lost. They've won two, but they've lost two now. And it keeps coming back to what they're not. They need to stay with what got them there. What they did was they put men on base, and they wore down pitching on the opposite side. Yeah, they're getting lucky with some guys hitting home runs, and they're beating the Yankees one a couple of times. But you can't rely on hitting home runs every night. You know, you have to get men on base, and I think they get away from that. And tonight, I think they're going to go back to getting guys on base, because if they don't, they're going to lose this game.
Who's going to pitch for the Rays?
Tonight it's Glasnow.
Do you have faith in him?
Yes. I think if there's a pitcher I want out there, it's him.
Okay. Wow, I got to watch it.
Yeah.
This will be very exciting. Thank you, Ed. It's time for you to get over to the drums. We have a good one. These are the top 10 best U.S. large cities to visit, as in, you know, spending a weekend or whatever. And I want to see if you know, Ed, what number one might be. So you'll have to listen.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Number 10. St. Petersburg, Florida made it. That's pretty good. St. Pete, Florida, perfect for a weekend getaway with its white sand beaches and dolphin spotting. possibilities.
As long as you don't have protesters down there dumping your food over.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah. Right. By the way, I forgot to say, 715,000 readers went to a Condé Nast Traveler and voted online for these. So, number nine. Number nine is Tucson, Arizona. You ever been there?
No, thanks.
No, thanks?
No, thanks.
You don't want to go there. Why not?
It's too dry and there's no grass. It's all dust.
Yeah. You might be right about that. Okay. You don't like looking at, what are those trees that they have out?
Cactus?
Yeah. No. Okay. Number eight. Never been to Nashville, Tennessee?
Close.
I have.
Oh, okay.
I like it. Mm. Country music.
Looks like it, yeah.
Yeah, it's number eight, so that's why I asked you. Number seven, San Diego, California. They got great weather there, but I don't know what else. I mean, what else do they have? You can't figure it out either.
No.
All right, number six, the Big Apple. Well, there's lots of things to
not
do
right
there.
Now.
No. No, it's not good in any major
Cuomo
city.
Cuomo is killing that city. Single-handedly killing that city.
You know, walking down, ever been walking down where Broadway is
no.
and all the theaters? How about Times Square? You ever been
no.
there?
No.
It's quite an experience. Of course, I remember the great old days.
Yeah.
Number five, San Antonio, Texas.
Really?
Yeah, you can
yeah,
go.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of it.
You go to the Alamo.
Very nice. Something about a river down there, too, that everybody
yeah,
goes to.
Right on the border.
Yeah.
Go to the Alamo. Okay, number four, New Orleans.
Been well, to New Orleans.
Yeah, me too. You knew New Orleans would be there as
yeah,
a
the main
place.
Drag there, what do they call it, the main
Bourbon Street.
Bourbon Street. Just don't go one block over because that's where all the trash is.
You know, even Bourbon Street, I mean, that
yeah,
whole area.
It gets crazy.
It's kind of, yeah. It's a, what's the word? It's a little, it's not tacky. It's, it can be, yeah, it's not, there. It's yeah. It's not like Disney World.
No,
all right. Okay.
Maybe a drunken Disney World.
Can you see Donald Duck or Mickey Mouse stumbling around down Main Street in Disneyland?
Slumped over on the sidewalk. trying to get a drug
bottle
fix.
Bottle of Jack Daniels yeah. is sitting next. Okay. Number three.
Syringe hanging out of his arm.
Oh, God, stop. Number three is Boston. Boston, Mass. They got a lot of things to go to do in Boston. I think that is a good city, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Number two. Well, this should be there only because of all the history. Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to include it in your top 10. All right. Have you been listening yet?
Yep. I'm going to go with Denver, Colorado.
Okay. Oh, no. You go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Denver, Colorado.
Denver. Okay. I think that's a good choice. Let's find out if you're right.
Probably not.
Chicago.
Really?
And not only was it number one this time, apparently it was number one last time too. Now, I wouldn't want to go there right now because
I was just saying, do you gotta pack heat when you go there?
They do in certain areas. It is the most beautiful skyline and there are more things to do in Chicago. I think it almost equals New York, but it's prettier, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Okay. Thank you very much, my friends. We will be back on Monday. Always remember that freedom works.